Welcome to Breakdown. I'm Charles Ames. Today we'll talk with Dr. Paul Cobbs, musical director and conductor of the Tacoma Youth Symphony Association. Next, in Both Sides Now, we'll discuss veteran suicides. And then I'll finish with a perspective on how much Republicans hate. That's all coming up now in Breakdown. Let's roll. This is Charles Ames with KTAH-FM. Today, my guest is Dr. Paul Cobbs, who is the musical director and conductor for the Tacoma Youth Symphony Association. Thank you very much for your time today, Dr. Cobbs.
Well, thank you very much. I'm excited to have a chance to talk with you and kind of let people know what's happening with the Tacoma Youth.
Right. And the average listener, perhaps, may think that the Tacoma Youth Symphony Association is maybe not accessible to them, but I suppose there is more than just one symphony in the Symphony Association.
That's right. Unfortunately, some people think, well, after they hear the Youth Symphony, oh, my child could never be that good. What they don't realize is that we have five different groups. So we have students as young as second grade and as old as college students. The upper age limit is 21. And so what we've done is we've created groups that will specifically address the needs of a child that age. And so I feel very proud about that. One of the great things about Tacoma Youth Symphony is that when they come as a young one, some parents say, well, you know, we can't afford it. And I say, well, we have scholarships for that. Or they'll say, you know, everybody takes lessons and my child has never had any lessons. And I said, we have scholarships for that too. We have great teachers. And then they say, well, you know, we're not sure if we'll be accepted because we're not the normal. I said, we'll accept everybody. I said, we all learn to get along regardless to your race or your financial means or your political leanings. All we ask is that everyone respects each other.
It seems like somebody where music is their primary influence, everything else would take a distant back seat. All right, Dr. Yes. Cobbs, can you maybe give me a little bit of background about the history of the Tacoma Youth Symphony Association and Dr. Cobbs' role in it?
Yes, well, we've been around for about 60 years. And at this point, I'm the longest reigning, I guess, conductor. I've been with the group for the last 27 years. It was started back in 1963, and it was decided that Tacoma needed a youth symphony, and they started in a basement of a church. I guess it was UPS where they started, and they were also in churches and things like that. And it grew from 80 students back then to just about 400 now. And so it's grown considerably. It started with two groups, and now we have five or six groups. So it's come a long way in the last 60 years.
And in a couple of years, you're going to have been with the association half of its history. So how does Dr. Paul Cobbs become involved and then eventually take the helm?
Well, you know, when I was teaching in Seattle at the Northwest School of the Arts, I had an international chamber orchestra. I had students from Everett, Seattle, Tacoma, Europe, Asia. And my kids in Tacoma said, you have to come down and meet our conductor in Tacoma because we love him so much. And so we decided to take a field trip one evening and go take in a concert in Tacoma and support all of our Tacoma Youth Symphony students in my that were in my orchestra in Seattle. And so at that time, I got to meet their conductor. His name was Harry Davidson, shook his hand, took a picture with my kids and his kids, the ones that we shared. And so that was the beginning of the relationship. About a year or so later, I got a call. And Harry said, you know, I'm going to Cleveland for a year. Can you come in and take over for a little bit? I said, sure. So I was supposed to take over for 10 weeks. And then they said, well, I decided that I'm gonna stay. Can you take over for a year while we look for somebody? I said, yeah, okay. So I took over for a year.
You took over for 10 weeks, give or take 3 decades.
Yeah.
Now, I'd like to maybe, let me give an example here of the direction I'm going. You're familiar with the Boston Pops. They
yes.
are an orchestra that plays stuff that is a little more accessible to the great unwashed horde like myself. But what does the symphony offer that might be of interest to Joe Sixpack, as we say in the service?
Well, we are very proud that we can play all types of music. Yes, we do Beethoven and Brahms quite well. However, in this summer program that we have, that I led, we did a tribute to Frank Sinatra, Tony Bennett. We also have done tributes to Count Basie, Duke Ellington. So the kids learn not only the classical music part of it, but the American classics too. Jazz is the American original. We transport that from America since World War I. We've transported jazz from America to Europe, and so they should learn that. And we have programs to learn that. We do that too.
And the whole world knows and appreciates jazz and understands that if they want something to identify America, then jazz is the go-to medium. Does the association, the Tacoma Youth Symphony Association, have a physical presence somewhere? I'm afraid I don't know immediately where someone goes to see them perform.
Yes, we're in the theater district. Our offices are in the Pantages on the 5th floor. And the Pantages is a great place to play. It's beautiful. In fact, we were in the Pantages in October where we did a costume concert. It was near Halloween. Every group dressed up in costumes and we played movie music. For instance, my group played music from Star Wars and Pirates. And so they dressed up appropriately. There were a lot of R's going on.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
That's right. And so every year we do a costume concert. But the cutest ones are the little second and third graders. They're dressed up in their little costumes too. So you'll hear things like Wizard of Oz, and you'll hear a lot of John Williams, you know, a lot of John Williams, because he does so many movie themes.
Yeah, I tell you, when I hear the Superman main theme, to me, that's more than just a piece of music. And if I find out that you guys are performing that, then everybody else is going to have to wait behind me. Dr. Cobbs, can you tell me, you have mentioned some of the things that you have done in the past. Can you tell me some of the crowd favorites, and maybe without getting specific, some performances in the future that people can look forward to?
Yes. See, the thing about it is we have so many performances. What I would suggest is that people go on our website. It's TYSAmusic.org, and it lists all the performances, because every group gets a chance to play a concert, at least two, if not three. We have a Discover Music concert coming up in February. And the Discover Music concert is for fourth graders in the greater Tacoma area. And we're putting on a concert. And this is for students who are just being introduced to orchestra. We're playing things like Peter and the Wolf, Star Wars, Pirates of the Caribbean, music that they can relate to. And we introduced the instruments. My favorite time was when we did Frozen. And as we were playing through Frozen, all the fourth graders rocked back and forth, and they were singing, "Would You Like to Build a Snowman?" And a lot of the adults cried.
With the minute that we have remaining, can you give me kind of a distinction about the individual symphonies within the association?
Yes. The first group is called our String Symphony, and that's the entry-level group, and that's for just strings, and it starts with second grade. However, we do have a beginning string group, too. That's relatively new for those who are just starting, and so you have kindergartners and first graders. But then you have the, after String Symphony, you go to the String Sinfonia, and that's more for middle schoolers. And then you also have, at that same age level, you have the Wind Sinfonia. So that's for the wind group, the Wind Philharmonic. And so that's a group that's just like the String Philharmonic, that second group, but is for winds. And then you have the Junior Symphony. That's basically ninth graders, 10th graders. And then you have the Youth Symphony, 11th graders, 12th graders, and college students. So we have it going all the way from, let's say, kindergarten through 21 years old.
Dr. Paul Cobbs, musical director and conductor for the Tacoma Youth Symphony Association at TYSAMusic.org. Thank you very much, Doctor.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Hello, Dr. Phil Kiefer here, back at you, Mike's side, with my friend Charles Ames, and we're doing things a little bit different this week. I will be introducing myself and Dr. Phil Kiefer. I am a Washington State native. I was in the Washington Army National Guard. I was in the active Army. I was a contractor in Iraq, Afghanistan, Libya. Other points redacted. If you would like to follow my cows, they are on Instagram, NICOCOW1. If my friend Charles Ames was a popular sort of pop culture character, I've always pictured him as the dog that belongs to Big Bird. If you wanted to put in your mind's eye what I think pop culture represents, myself, Dr. Phil Kiefer, I am the lamp from A Christmas Story, except I have two legs. I know Charles was in the Marine Corps. Charles was also in the Washington Army National Guard. I mean, I think he was probably activated on active duty. I think he may have been in the French Foreign Legion, although I didn't see him, so we might have been in different platoons. Charles, it's good to be with you again.
And the pleasure is mine for your introduction, Dr. Kiefer.
All right. This week, we're going to do something that we rarely do outside of the airwaves, and we are most surely going to agree. I am ever optimistic as a Seattle Mariners fan that we can agree and maybe someday see the World Series. So our topic today is veteran suicide. It is a topic that is very near and dear to me, having experienced veteran suicides both overseas on the active component and then again here at home. The cold, hard facts of what is reported, and because it's the government, let's just say we could probably double it. The high for veteran suicide in the past few years when the war on terror was really going full steam was around 32 per day. It is now down to around 21 and a half a day. And one a day is too many, and certainly 21, you know, to 32 to 42, whatever your level of trust in the government is far, far too high. There are several issues that I think contribute to this that we will get into. But I just want to toss this back to you, Charles. Is this something that surely we can just hold hands and skip through the field and have a serious conversation?
No question. Yeah. You may not be aware that I am a certified veteran service officer, and I've got a column that I send out once a month of 10, 12 different benefits to veterans. However, I did read just this morning that while we have taken a good chunk out of veteran suicides, it did go back up a little bit over the course of the last year. So, yes, we've got to marshal our forces. We've got to figure out what is it going to take to stem this tide, when we certainly appreciate veterans. We certainly have services available for them, which I'm sure we're going to talk about. But I get the impression that you have a little bit more background on this than perhaps even I have. And I appreciate you bringing up this topic for me and kind of running the lead on it, Phil.
All right. So to start things off, there's a stigma. Obviously, in the active component, in the reserve component, a component at VFWs, at American Legions, I, Dr. Phil Kiever, have been suicidal in the past because of my service in the military. My first wife, Dawn, who is deceased, committed suicide while I was overseas in Afghanistan. And while she was not a veteran, you know, her death is not counted, and it still should have been. So, what are the reasons that we see, you know, for suicide? Obviously, I just mentioned the stigma. I don't need help. I'm not going to ask for help. I'm not going to get promoted. I'm not going to get good reviews. My peers are going to think less of me. My fellow men and women in uniform will not put their lives in my hands, nor will they ask that I put my life in their hands, because somehow I am weaker. Okay, so that's one of the issues. The other issue is our aftercare. If we cannot take care of our veterans, we should stop making them. The Veterans Administration was created basically out of two or three sentences in an Abraham Lincoln's second inaugural address. Now, I know Charles well, and I think that you will probably say, let's throw more money at the problem. And I will preempt that argument and say, we need streamlined services, less bureaucracy, less clipboards, less rules and regulations, and more practitioners. What say you?
Well, Phil, now I'm under the impression that if you call 911, you can be redirected. But I understand now there is a better resource, and I'm not sure if it's veteran specific, but I understand that if a person is feeling self-destructive, I believe is the PC term, that they can dial 988, which, as I recall, is strictly for that use. And I think if you hit one, then you're redirected to a veterans counselor. Phil, I know that we've all been at the circumstance that you've talked about, and I've lost a couple of members to suicide as well, too. So, fine. Let's say we can cut the red tape. The question is, what resources are going to eliminate this program? And is that even an option? Is that even viable?
Okay. And again, I'm just going to, you know, I'm going to speak from my personal experience and kind of wave some HIPAA here with the listeners. Earlier this year, my psychiatrist at the Hampton, Virginia VA facility retired, and I did not get a new psychiatrist until October. So I was May to October, not only without a psychiatrist, but also without the ability to get my medications renewed, because the medications that I require are a Schedule I narcotic, and they can only be prescribed by a psychiatrist and no one else, not a nurse practitioner, nor anyone lesser. So there just was not a psychiatrist available for me. And what sort of options do you have if the VA and the mental health in the Veterans Administration is all that you have available to you? So what are some other causes that we see of veteran suicide? Obviously, over deployments, repeated deployments, poor morale, poor mission identification, You know, we have an aircraft carrier from Norfolk, Virginia, just up the road from me, that has been extended in the Red Sea Mediterranean area now several times. They were supposed to be home in November. They keep getting extended a week or two at a time. And what does that do to the family? What does it do to the warfighter, to those Marines and those sailors or the special forces that are aboard that that carrier strike group? I am, on one hand, a war hawk. But having been to war, no one hates war more than someone who has been there. I'm probably a little more conservative than, you know, Attila the Hun, who had an active outdoor lifestyle. But if we are losing more veterans daily than we are losing in the war fighter, then we're really doing something wrong as a country.
Now, Phil, you bring up a prospect to me that I had not considered before. And of course, I had a fairly cushy gig during OIF. Being commanders, security, and driver. But can you kind of illuminate what the likelihood or instance was of people who were committing suicide downrange? I mean, you'd think it would happen there, but typically the average person only hears about the suicides that occur back home.
When I was in Iraq, one time we had a mass shooting at a mental health facility, which people in America didn't know about. That didn't escape the confines of the military government media complex. We would have suicides, you know, just in my sphere of influence and my knowledge, being, you know, public affairs and combat photography and that sort of thing. A handful a month, but, you know, war theaters are huge areas. And commanders handle things differently. I had a dear friend who was a company commander in the Marines, and his first sergeant, they had a young Marine who was suicidal, and they took him down to the hangar and they threw a rope up over the rafters and they put him up on a chair and they said, "We're here to help you." And that's exactly what he wanted. He just wanted someone to listen to him. He didn't want to kill himself. And that may sound shocking to the listeners out here in public radio land, but that's the decision that was made at the command level, and it worked. Suicide is nearly endemic, I would say, in an active warfighting situation that goes on 4 years. I would, you know, just look at what's going on in the West Bank, not the West Bank, but in Gaza today. I would anticipate that words of suicide are going to start creeping out because the majority of those IDF forces are reservists. They have called up thousands and thousands of reservists, just like we use our National Guard and we use our reserve forces. And many times those warfighters are not suited or trained to be ready to face down the demons of suicidal thoughts.
All right, Phil, that is all the time we have. We're hitting 10 minutes right now. Did you want to wrap up if you have not already?
Again, don't look for a phone number. Don't get online and say, "This is where I need to go for help." Phone a friend, phone a battle buddy. I've had battle buddies reach out to me. I've reached out to other battle buddies. Call your sister, call your mom. You know, do not pass go, get in your car, drive yourself to the ER and leave your guns at home. But we as a country need to take better care of those that have taken care of us.
I think I can seriously say, I love you, man.
I still hate your guts, but everyone knows we're kidding.
All right. Thank you, Phil.
Thank you.
Listen, it is well past time to acknowledge Republican hate. Biden accomplishments for this year, well, my girlfriend's insulin is $35. The PACT Act finally increased my VA disability. I had paid training to maintain wind generators, brought my internet access down with the Inflation Reduction Act. We got gun safety background checks, too late for my brother and mother, unfortunately. We defended democracy in Ukraine. My kids won't have to fight Russia here. $1 trillion is given for infrastructure, roads, and bridges that I use, you use, and your children use. In fact, he cut child poverty in half, opened the National Strategic Reserve, reversed pot convictions, cleaned up Trump's Afghanistan mess, presided over the highest employment rate in U.S. history, boosted IC chip manufacturing, 30 Chinese integrated circuit companies close every day because of it, all in his first 2 years. What will you be doing when you turn 80? See, Democrats stick with facts. Republicans pick up a stick, in fact. Republicans are the ones that run away from television cameras. They want to tell people what to do, but still say they want small government. They want banks too big to fail, but government small enough to drown in a bathtub. They claim to be the party of family values, registered trademark, just not your family. Be pro-life up until the second you are actually alive. Chant freedom, freedom, except in your bedroom. Except if you want to exclude guns from your place of business. Except in women's bodies. Except when their state has a disaster. Except when collective bargaining might be considered. Except to give corporations a handout. Except when keeping tabs on protesters. Except if you're gay. Except on the borders. They are fixated on shutdowns. Well, only one way to solve that. Tax cuts for billionaires. Half of Republicans would be happy to have a dictator rule over them while claiming to stand for freedom. Freedom from what? To go bankrupt medically, yet still get worse medical outcomes? Is it freedom when old white men tell you what you can do with your uterus? Freedom when you have the highest per capita and total incarceration rate in the world? Free to pay banks endless college debt? And are you free when you can only leave the house in a bulletproof vest? Conservatives are tough on crime, but have more criminal indictments than Democratic administrations. And please don't ask them about crime in chronically poor red states. Conservatives are pro-Israel but anti-Semite. Conservatives are pro-life but anti-vax. Conservatives are pro-life but also pro-gun. Conservatives are pro-life unless you live in Flint, Michigan. Conservatives are pro-military but keep closing bases. Conservatives are pro-military but keep threatening military pay with shutdowns. Conservatives talk about jobs and ships them overseas. Conservatives are Christian but don't abide by Christ's principles. Conservatives are anti-socialism but hand out hundreds in stimulus checks. Conservatives are anti-government but want to ban the book 1984. They back the blue but won't shake hands with the Capitol Police. Conservatives love the Affordable Care Act but hate Obamacare. Conservatives claim to be for family values but consume more porn than any other demographic. Conservatives are anti-LGBTQ up until the moment they are busted in a public restroom. Conservatives cut welfare to the poor, $7 out of your average salary, but shovel welfare to corporations, $4,000 out of an average salary. Conservatives love America, but hate Americans. By the time cons accuse others of something, cons have been doing it for years. When conservatives say Democrats are sheep, they're trying to deflect attention away from how they, as a bloc, never vote against billionaire interests. You remember Terri Schiavo? She was a young woman in Florida. After collapsing from excessive dieting, she eventually wound up in a vegetative state. When the outcome seemed irreversible, her husband said she would not want to be kept alive in this state. Cue the small government GOP. They wrapped up an entire Congress to interfere in the business of one single life, all while accusing Democrats of overreaching. Amazing how the GOP can spin the removal of freedoms. The best defense I've seen for this is to extend their flowery language. Right to work, for less. Right to life, until you're actually alive. A corporation is a person, even if it wants to marry another same-sex corporation. Don't forget, they are proud of trying to kill Granny's Social Security and Medicare and public schools. But the glow of the GOP is sunsetting. Moms for Liberty influence has faded. Threesome, losing so many school board elections. Conservative media is suffering Hunter Biden fatigue. This is the least productive Congress in history. And, you know, unless Biden's last surviving kid took drugs. At what point do you start to wonder if the GOP is nonstop lying to you? Now tell me where I'm wrong.